Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Jeff, we finally reached the end of the season. Saints end up 6-11, losing their last game of the season to the Atlanta Falcons 19-17. Your thoughts about the game?
Yeah, we made it, man. I had my first piece of king cake today. I'm feeling good about it. It was an entertaining game. You didn't ruin your draft pick, you know, and it's what I appreciate about the Saints is they didn't have a lot of pieces. They could have easily just said, you know what, it's not worth winning. We're going to sit the players we have, you know, the guys that are out there, we could sit them down and maybe secure that number eight pick. They didn't do that. They went for it. You know, they didn't win it. But there was no tanking. And because I think once you kind of open that box of saying we're not interested in winning, it's hard to shut it again. I think it's hard to pull that back in the locker room. So that's what I appreciate is, you know, despite having an offense that you would not have recognized based on the one you started the season with. I mean, you had four wide receivers who were either on the practice squad or not on the roster at all week one. You had three wide running backs who were either on the practice squad or not on the roster at all week one. Actually, I think none of the running backs were on the roster week one. None of them even got here until midway through the season. So the fact that you were able to make that game competitive, I think just says so much about the belief that's kind of in that room. And it's never fun to get swept by the Falcons. No one wants it. But if you had won that game, you would have been picking 11th and had a second-place schedule. And losing that game, you pick 8th and have a fourth-place schedule. There's worse things.
Yeah, you know, I felt the same way. You and I have talked about this multiple times. I said, look, as long as they're competitive, I'm happy. I mean, that's kind of the most you can ask for in a rebuild year, right? I mean, and I think there's value of the experience that Chuck and some of the other younger players received this year. He's likely to be maybe rookie of the year and actually didn't play, half the year, if that's my memory serves me correct, which that's a good thing, too, if that happens.
Yeah, I will have to see how that develops. I would be surprised if he won it. Not that I don't think he deserves it. I just think when push comes to shove, they're going to look at it and say, man, he only started 9 games. If he had won that game, going to the end of the offseason on a 5-game win streak, you know, because the Rookie of the Year is a story award more than anything else, and that would have been one heck of a story. You know, the loss kind of takes the shine off of it. It doesn't mean that, you know, he's any less of a kind of revelation for this team at the quarterback position. I just think from a story perspective, the shine comes off it a little bit. But either way, I think the Saints are really, really excited about what they have at quarterback. I know his teammates are. A lot of times it's funny because you'll hear players come out and, you know, they're always going to talk up their teammates. But in this case, it's like you hear DeMario Davis come out and they're like, this guy's got it. You know, I talked to Justin Reed and, you know, he was saying he told him he needs to take some time off in February to go to the awards ceremony because he's going to win Rookie of the Year. They believe in that guy. And it's cool to see. I also thought it was cool to see, you know, the players that don't get a lot of opportunities get out there. You know, Ronnie Bell, that one-handed catch was really impressive for him. Samori Toure he had a nice catch, even though the refs tried to take it away from him. I did think it was funny because in the moment I was like, man, that's a silly challenge. You're trying to take it from 3rd and 7 to 3rd and 4. But then I thought about it and was like, you know, who probably appreciated that challenge was Samori Toure. Like, that's the only evidence he was in the game at all was that catch. And it was a heck of a catch. Anyway, I think there's just a lot that the Saints did this year that they're going to look at and say, hey, this is how we're building, right? Like, we felt like we were doing things the right way all year. And that's a frustrating thing when you feel that way and the results aren't coming. Well, in the second half of the season, you know, you had a lot of guys kind of staying the course. Everyone did things the way they were asked to do them. Everyone, you know, the vibes, the culture in the locker room was strong. And, you know, I think that's why there's so much positivity around this building is, you know, they all kind of kept that belief. They all kept pulling the rope in the same direction. And it resulted in a really kind of fun finish to the season, even if it finished outside of the playoffs. So there's a lot to build on. And, you know, Tyler Shuck is kind of at the center of that.
Yep. I kind of like that the Saints had double the rushing yards that the Falcons did. You know, they they have a healthy running back and expected a lot more of him. And they were able, I think they held him to less than 50 yards, if my memory serves me correct. And, you know, which is, that's an accomplishment as well.
Yeah, one team went into that game with Audric Estime and Evan Hull. The other team went into that game with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. One team came away with 108 rushing yards, and you got to give Tyler Shrug credit for some of that. He had 34 of his own. The other team came away with 49 total rushing yards. Bijan Robinson had 15 carries for 33 yards. That's 2.2 yards per carry. This is a man who ran for 193 yards less than a week ago against the Rams. To me, you know, it's funny because you come out of that game and you lost the game, but to me, it's like the defense dominated that game. The Saints defense dominated that game, and it's a shame that you weren't able to win it because of that. Unfortunately, special teams was a problem in that game. Special teams has been a problem all year long, and to me, that's what cost you the game. You gave away a touchdown. The only touchdown the Falcons scored, the only time they even really threatened for a touchdown, came after that blocked punt. That they started that drive at the 5-yard line. So, no, I mean, the defense over the second half of the season.
What was that, Jeff? Ahead. Did somebody miss the block? Did they miss their assignment? I mean, I looked at it a couple of times. I couldn't figure it out because it was like a mishmash of bodies. But, I mean, you know.
It looked like they kind of ran a stunt, which you don't see a lot of that on pump block. And I think the Saints just didn't pick it up well. And we don't get to talk to – normally we'd get to talk to Phil Galliano, special teams coordinator, but because it's week 18, we won't get that. So we won't necessarily get the explanation for what was supposed to happen versus what did happen. But, yeah, that one's not really on the punter. That's on the protection. Because, you know, you can leave guys unblocked, but you need those guys to be coming off the edge because it's just a longer – you know, they typically can't get there in time. You can't leave a free rusher up the middle, which is what you got. So someone messed up. I don't know exactly who it was. I don't want to sit here and tell you it was this guy's fault. But there was a mistake had there. And unfortunately for the Saints, and I think you go into the offseason saying, hey, where can you get better? Special teams just across the board is an area that you've got to get a lot better at. Because, you know, there was a lot of games this season where special teams was a liability. And at its best this year, it's been, okay, you're at least kind of breaking even. I don't think you could point to any game where it was a legitimate advantage for you, but you can point to several games where it was a legitimate disadvantage. So that's, you know, whether it's, you know, they need to be more consistent on making field goals, they need to be more consistent on coverage. I mean, heck, there was at least twice in that game the Falcons kicked the ball into the end zone, the Saints returned it anyway. And it's like, man, anytime that ball's going to land in the end zone, let it land in the end zone. Starting a drive at the 35-yard line is a win. You don't need to be trying to improve that. You're not Devin Hester. Like, let the ball bounce in the end zone. Don't run it back. It's really not that complicated, but it's happened way too many times this season. So that's a part of this equation that the Saints are going to have to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, if you start putting the math to that as to who, you know, feels the ball in the end zone or at the goal line and is able to move it past the 35-yard line, it's not that many times.
It's a low percentage.
Yeah. Let's see. We fumbled again. That's been a problem, right?
Yeah, I mean, not just the fumbles, but it's actually wild. I've never seen anything like this. I'm sure it's happened before, but the Saints, 5 times this season, they only have 17 games, 5 times this season, the Saints have fumbled on their opening offensive possession. Actually, 6, but they recovered it against the Titans. So that's not even just 5 times. It's back-to-back games you fumbled on your opening possession. And 5 of those times, you lost it. So it's like, you talk about a team that's starting slow. They've taken that to a whole new level of not only are you not scoring on your opening possession, you're giving the ball to the other team a third of the time. So, yeah, I don't know what that is. I don't know if there's any common denominator. Like, 2 of them were Spencer Rattler. One of them was Alvin Kamara getting the ball knocked out. I take it back. It was Tyler Shuck who was trying to run a play action and the ball got knocked out of his hands. Another one was Taysom Hill who fumbled on his opening possession or on his opening carry of the game. Another one was last week, obviously, Tyler Shuck got sacked and fumbled. This week it was Juwan Johnson. I think there's another one in there that I'm missing. But that's just, you can't do that. And I think that those are the types of small things that have cost you games this year. You know, what's the difference between going 6-11 and going maybe 9-8 and winning the division? It's those small things, right? It's having the momentum and giving it right back. It's getting a punt blocked when you just can't get a punt blocked. It's missing field goals in critical opportunities. It's not being able to punch it in from the 1 yard line. All that stuff adds up to, you know, failing to win a division that all you had to do was scratch to an 8-9 record to get to it. And you couldn't do that. So those are kind of the things you're going to look back on this season and say, yeah, okay, that cost us this season. But I think a lot of those things are correctable. So I think the Saints do have the benefit of being able to point to a lot of very specific things and say, if we can clean this up, if we can run for a yard when we need a yard, we can be a winning football team.
I wasn't paying close attention. I was doing some work while I was watching the game. How many did we have? Many drop passes?
I'm not sure. I can't say. You know, Tyler went 23 of 35, 259. It seemed like when he put the ball on guys, they caught it. I didn't notice any drops. There were some miscommunications, right? Like there was a play early in the game where Kevin Austin was running kind of a dig over the middle of the field, and he kind of throttled down. Tyler thought he was going to keep going, and it was just a miss. I think it was more of a chemistry issue in that game, more so than an execution issue. There was a couple deep balls, go routes to, I want to say, Ronnie Bell that they didn't connect on, and they connected later in the game. But yeah, it's hard to be too critical of a passing game when you have that many backups in there.
Yeah, no, it just kind of, it almost sometimes feel like it's infectious, you know, when somebody, people dropping the ball, and then all of a sudden everybody starts dropping the ball. You know, it's just no kind doubt. Of one of those weird things. What do you expect to hear tomorrow? We're going to be covering you guys live out at Saints training camp at 11, Mickey Loomis and the coach. What do y'all expect to hear?
Yeah, I mean, I expect to hear kind of positive reviews and a lot of, you know, positivity around how the team kind of stayed together and closed up this season. I'm more interested in hearing from Mickey than Kellen, because we talk to Kellen every week. We kind of know what he's going to say. I'm curious how Mickey feels about the team building, about how he feels about the draft class, and you know, if he'll go into it, what he thinks this team needs, because it's going to be fascinating to see how they continue to build around Tyler Shuck. And you know, Chris Olave is up for a contract extension. He's under contract, but it's a 1 year deal, so that's going to be the big story this offseason. How much do you pay Chris Olave? I'm curious what he has to say about Chris's season. But I think it's going to be a press conference that strikes a very positive tone and a positive chord, because it should be, because I think this team feels like after a while of kind of being in the woods, they can kind of finding their way out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to hearing it and checking in with you guys tomorrow at 11 live. Thank you so much for joining us today. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Great job this year, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
Sounds good, Neil. Thanks for having me on all these weeks.
All righty. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.